Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, folks? It's a happy holidays edition of Hitting Other High Notes Jazz Talk. I am here, the voice in your ear hole right now. You can follow me on Twitter at Jazz High Notes number 2 and at Who Trans Superman. A Merry Friday to you all, because there's no way this episode's getting out before Friday. Happy holidays to y'all. We are here with He Goes the Distance. He does it 49 times. What's up, Jared Barker?
Hey, man, how are you doing?
Yeah, pretty good. It's, we're winding down 2023. Goodbye, 2024 coming in. Lots of changes, lots of new things. How is life in the Barker world? How in the Bustin' Barker world, I should say.
Well, work's good. Things are good with the girlfriend. Got a doctor appointment tomorrow.
Even after the last episode, things are still good with the girlfriend. That worked out, so...
I don't even remember what happened last time, frankly.
thank you for listening to Hitting the High Notes all year long. We appreciate you guys. Here's to another good 2024, the rest of the season. Proud members of the Believe Network, and for the only people that don't get time off this time of year. Oh, sorry. Let's try again. The only people that don't get time off this time of year are pro athletes and us at Bet Online. With NFL bowl season and NBA in full swing over the holidays, Bet Online isn't taking a second off to make sure you have all the up to the second odds, news and info. I've read this before, I swear. Bet Online has all the sports wagering info available you need with both desktop and mobile access. Head there today to get into the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BLEAV, BLEAV. Definitely not the first time I've seen that copy before in my life.
Bet Online, where the game starts.
It's not even on there. Not even on there. Wow. I know. So things are changing. I don't know. The only people that don't get time off this year are pro athletes. I mean, I kind of got time off. I use PTO. I still have it's December 20th. We're recording this. We have 3 more days of the year. I still have something like 30 hours of PTO that I'm going to lose because I just didn't have enough time. And I thought I took a good number of days off this year. I'm going to lose about 30 days of PTO, 30 hours of PTO.
Hours?
Yeah.
Really?
Use
it or lose it. They're not even going to pay you out for it.
I get some, but those are 30 hours over my cap anyway. So whatever, it's 3 days off. It is what it is. I don't know. What's the PTO situation at your place of employment?
For me, I get 1 week the first year and 2 weeks the second year, and then there's 40 hours of
sick leave. Call it?
Yeah, essentially.
Personal day sick leave. Yeah, that's fair. Some companies have sick leave, some people have PTO, some separated. Some people have which I think is a scam, unlimited PTO. Like my brother, youngest brother, has unlimited PTO. And I tell him it's such a scam because if I had unlimited PTO, I would take less days off.
Because that's exactly what the studies show that people do.
Because a lot of us work in
competitive environments.
Well, competitive or environments that just when I'm gone, like if I leave my job here for a week. They don't bring somebody else in. They just work with one person down. So that's just the life we live. We don't have backups and extras. If you work at for instance, when I worked at a restaurant when I served full time, I didn't feel as guilty taking time off because I wasn't getting money, but I wasn't worried about my coworkers because there was 20 other people that could do the exact job I was doing.
As you get more and more specialized, it's harder and harder to take time off.
So that's my rant for the day is that unlimited PTO is a scam. So, and that has nothing to do with what we're talking. We talk jazz. We talk jazz. You're hitting the high notes jazz talk. But it was just, I saw that on the copy and I wanted to talk about it.
Does LeBron have unlimited PTO?
Yeah, people. Yeah, exactly. People are 5 minutes into this going, what the hell? Talk about the jazz. That's what you pay you guys for. get on us, get on us, Podcast Monkeys. But get on with it, I should say, Podcast Monkeys. But Jared, you know, like I said, it's going to be December 29th when this episode airs, heading into 2024. You know, we've got 20, you know, we're probably, what, a third of the way into the season? Something like that. The math is
sounds about right.
Somewhere like that. The Jazz are, you know, they were on a four-game winning streak. They just lost to the Pelicans.
A team they'd beaten twice before.
Yeah, they had one spent like five in a row against the Pelicans. But you know it's hard to beat a team, you know, four in a row, five in a row, six in a row. It's hard to lose 28 games in a row, but it wasn't a bad game. I mean, just talk about the game for just a second. I don't think it was a bad game. The Jazz were in it. You know, Pelicans made a lot of shots.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, they kept it close. Defense the Pelicans played well.
Yeah, defense is still a bugaboo for the Jazz. Their defense, you know, this is not a good defensive team, but right. They hung in there. We're going to talk about.
But you got to wonder if, like, I missed some of the second half, so I didn't see if Taylor Hendricks played more down the stretch. But he felt like he was really helping with the defensive woes when he was getting more time. So
yeah, Hendricks, I don't know. Out of the rotation. I mean, it's nothing new. Like, we talked about it from day one of the season. Right. You know, the Jazz are just, they're too, you know, and Hardy gave the coach, like, hey, they have a lot of depth, right? Like, THT was available. So, you know, earlier in the week, the Jazz played the Spurs. THT and Keontae George were both available. THT did not make a rotation against the Spurs. When asked about it, you know, Coach Hardy gave his, you know, his coach speak answer, like, oh, we're just too deep. We're too deep. We couldn't find a place to get him in. THT, I bet, only played like 10 minutes, say. Not even 10 minutes. Let me look up the game log here from Jazz and Pelicans, but he didn't play very much.
Why'd you be like 8 minutes and you're like, oh, 2 minutes off?
Well, I mean, yeah, like, I mean, because he didn't play any of the first half. So he just couldn't have been that many minutes. But in THT, it's THT. Like, the Jazz do need to figure out a way to sit some. I think the last time we talked, I put a poll out, like, hey, would you trade Kelly Olynyk for basically as a second round pick for just nothing? Would you trade THT, you know, this is for the Jazz fans, THT for basically nothing? Overwhelmingly, it was like an 80-20 vote THT off the team for nothing. Which, you know, the basis of that question is basically we want to open up minutes for the other four guards on the team, Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson, Keontae George especially.
Sexton seems like he's really coming on of late, and I'm proud of him. Like, a lot of progress, man.
Yep.
He seems like he's seeing the offense better, and they've been talking a lot about it. It's encouraging, yep, to say the least.
THT, 6 minutes. Against the New Orleans Pelicans. So, I mean, I'm confused why we threw the Jazz threw THT in for 6 minutes tonight. Just, I don't know. Like, I'm not an NBA player. I don't know if 6 minutes is helpful. I don't know. That those minutes would have been better for Chris Dunn or Keontae George.
Well, at least nobody can complain that Will Hardy's not standing up to Clutch Sports or whatever. Like,
yeah.
The criticism was earlier this year. It was
Taylor Hendricks, a DNP, a CD, no longer going up and down to the Stars. So we're past that point. And, you know, that's a whole other topic, whether he should be back down there right now. Because the Jazz are just too crowded. You know, they're too crowded. They had too many guys playing the same position. You know, we can say that John Collins...
Right, we've been talking about too many forwards. Yeah,
John Collins might be, you know, the people don't understand why they made the John Collins trade when you're drafting Taylor Hendricks. There's a lot of things in play that, you know, in a vacuum, you know, they don't make sense by themselves. But I think we put it all together, there's a lot there. So our first topic today that we're talking about, I asked you when we started here, like, you know, we're bringing out the new year. You mentioned Colin Sexton, and I think that's something we should talk about. But who are guys that we are, like, you know, stock up or down, or guys that we just think about differently
now than Collins, we did? I think with Collins' play of late, I think we're starting to view him a little bit differently, because early in the year, I think everybody, myself included, was like,
I don't even think it was that early. Okay? I think it was. I think
it was, it was probably 5 games ago, 10 games ago, even.
Yeah, because it was only. I remember Logan. I think it was the last time the three of us were on, and the Dragon Scorch is like, you know, and something I say is like, I want to like Colin Sexton.
Oh yeah, that's true. And he did say that. And, oh my gosh, he said those exactly right.
And but like literally like the last 2 or 3 weeks, last month, Colin Sexton's game has transformed. I'll just read the box score tonight. Colin Sexton, 30 minutes, 8 of 17 from the field. He got to the line 9 times, hit 7 free throws, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 26 points. You know,
last game he had like 6 assists. Like,
yeah, his
numbers are going like, it's like he's had a sort of a Jordan Clarkson type of epiphany where it's like, oh yeah, I can get better at, you know, finding the path.
I did not know Jordan Clarkson had an epiphany, but
it felt like it, like, you know, early in his Jazz career, it felt like he was a black hole, and now it seems like he gets a little bit more. So it's, I don't know.
Interesting.
Like
to your point, Jordan Clarkson had six assists tonight. So, he also had 6 turnovers. So I don't know if.
I'm not saying he has a great assist to turnover ratio.
I guess he's getting assists. Yeah, I guess he's passing. You know, he's 3 of 11, 1 of 5 from three. Anyway, so let's go to Colin Sexton. So Colin Sexton, I think a lot of Jazz fans. I mean, Colin Sexton had some haters on the app. On the Twitter, but he has shown that, like, not only is he, you know, like, I think early in the year, you know, he was forcing a lot, going to the basket. It was that Hunger Games mentality that we saw from everybody. It wasn't just Colin. It was Colin. It was THT. It was Clarkson. It was that whole backcourt. It was like, we weren't getting any assists from any guards. So I don't want to single Colin Sexton out, but, you know, just about, you know, 2 months ago, you know, when the Jazz were in that rough patch, Coach Hardy came out. It was like, hey, we're challenging guys. We want to, you know, you got to play Jazz. You know, when he was like, you know, if you want to play, if you're going to wear the Jazz jersey, you're going to play Jazz basketball. Something to that effect, right? And
Colin
Sexton has answered the call.
Yeah.
I think so. Stock up. I think a lot of fans are really, because I don't think scoring was ever something we had a question with Colin Sexton. We know he's a young bull. You know that he could take it in. You know he can finish around the rim. People have talked about how his spot up 3-point numbers are amazing. It's his off the bounce 3-point numbers that are not great, but his spot up, his catch and shoot 3-point numbers are really good. I let the stat nerds talk about that stuff. So,
And I think people were just down on like those connecting plays. He wasn't like, as a guard, he wasn't making the connecting plays, and you're like, okay,
And that's, no that, assists, that, that's the ball's why, not moving. That's why Keyonte George was such, like, everyone he came out because. He was actually getting.
Oh yeah, he was finding guys. Yeah.
Keyonte back from injury, he's not hitting shots. He's not hitting shots like he was. He only hit 1 3-pointer tonight. 1 out of 7, 5 assists. Keyonte from day one, you know, I had him as an unknown. He looks good. I don't know if he has the star power that we're looking for, but he looks at least like he's a top 8 player on an NBA team. So that's something that's not bad. I think Jazz fans, when I say we, Jazz fans, were a little too quick to pull that. Like, you know, here we go, next star, next. I mean, of course they do, but next star, next all star. I don't know if I see that in Keyonte. Jared, where are you at with Keyonte?
I don't feel like I'm down on him. I feel like I want to go all in, but but I'm also like, you know, gonna. Feel like I'm also very wait and see, just because I'm so tempted to go all in. I'm just like,
he's
the future of the franchise. He's our point guard. I'm gung ho. I'm all in.
Okay, well, I mean, you're a lot closer than I am. I am very far away from that, and that makes sense. But I'm glad. I think that if you're a Jazz fan, you need hope. You need to pile that on somebody. And if it's Keyonte George and Larry Markkanen, I don't hate it. I'm not there yet, but I'm glad that there are. I'm glad there are Jazz fans that are there because that just means that there is hope in the franchise, I guess. Let's talk about the other Collins, John Collins. I obviously came in. I was much higher on John Collins when in 2022, 2021, 2023 Jazz John Collins. I was like, well, we'll see. You know, I've said words like, I don't know if him and Lowry can play together. And it's not so much that their styles don't mesh.
No, it's just that neither of them's really a true three, right? Like, neither of them feels like they're
right,
a perfect fit at the three.
I mean, John Collins, I don't think has ever played a three in his pro career, right? Yeah, he's a 6'9". You know, he's a tall guy. He's lengthy. I think he's always played center or power forward. It's more of just like, I think those guys are like when he was good, but he had that really great year in Atlanta before they gave him that big contract.
When he blew up
In 1920, right? Like he was, and he, even in 1819, like he had two seasons where he averaged nearly 20 points a game. You know, he's getting a block a game, rebounds were 10, you know, he was a double-double machine. And that's when we was playing with Trae Young and everything. And I think, for me, I think John Collins could be a good second or third banana on the team. The problem with the Jazz is don't have a first banana, so now you have Lowry and John Collins, like, going for the same spot. I would hope that Lowry could get to that, but it's really hard to be a great first banana. Like, Lowry's obviously the best player on the team, but to be to that spot where Larry or John Collins could be your second is, it's just hard. I don't know if I'm explaining myself very well. But that doesn't matter. Like, we're talking about, like, where we think of John Collins now.
So let's talk about Larry then. I feel like,
hold on with John Collins. Like, where do you, like, view John Collins now than you did from beginning of the year?
I mean, I don't think my opinion on him has changed that much. I feel like the fit is dubious with the Jazz. Yeah, it's kind of like, we'll see.
Okay.
Like, it just feels like there's other rosters where he might
flourish more. I agree with that. I think he's talented. I just don't see him and Larry, this Jazz team, Larry, John Collins. I don't see as at the as a 1-2 punch. So
right.
And maybe he just plays center. I don't know. I don't know. So that's where I'm at. So you want to go to Larry Markham next? Okay.
Yeah, I feel like he's playing at about the same level as he did last year. It's just the team's not as good. So I'm happy with that. Like I wasn't really expecting another huge leap. And, you know, he's been staying mostly healthy. He had that little stretch where he was out for a few games. But overall, I think, you know, things look good.
Where he was, quote-unquote, hurt.
Yeah. And then there was that little story that who knows if that was even real or not. If we do get a talk to the young bull,
You're asking somebody to talk about somebody else's situation.
Yeah, in the locker room. You're right. I need to learn this reporter stuff.
Lowry's a seven foot small forward. 26 years old. We came into the year thinking he was our best guy, and he's played really well. Like, I mean, the game against the Spurs really good. Game against the Raptors really good. Lowry against the Pelicans in the loss. Only 3 of 12 from three-pointer. That hurt. But he had a double-double, 24 points, 10 rebounds. So he's shown that he can put up all, like, he's not going to be an all-star this year, but he has shown that he can put up this level again. Nothing's really changed, right? Like, we've all said on this podcast that, and a lot, you know, this is not a unique thought, like, that Lowry Markkanen is not really a number one on a championship team. You know, so how did the Jazz get number one to put next to him? I don't know, but definitely a reason to be happy because, like, hey, he's shown that he can still be a very good player in the NBA. Just, you know, the Jazz don't have anybody else around him, really. Walker Kessler, very interesting. I don't know what your thoughts, like, I think people know my thoughts about Walker Kessler, but what were your thoughts about Walker Kessler at the beginning of the year?
I mean, I was higher on him a little bit more at the beginning of the year, and now I'm kind of, you know, middling. I don't think I'm as low as Logan is on him, but, like, he's a center, and I feel like as long as you have a...
I don't even know what Logan's, like, thought about Walker was. Like, because he was really high on him last time I talked Yeah. I mean, this is last year, I guess, but.
No, but I think he mentioned earlier this year that he was sick of how,
well,
how hyped Jazz fans are about centers.
That's different than being disappointed in
yeah, that's true. Like, that's fair. That's
yeah.
fair.
So, yeah, so, like, not to speak for Logan, but, like, well, Walker Kessler, I mean, here's the thing. Like, he plays in a position that, you know, doesn't like, seem...
He's the running back of the Jazz.
Yeah, like, the center position just, you know, unless you're Jokic and unless you're Embiid, like, you know, there's just not that much...
Yeah, you're either a star or you're a replacement level.
And like. But Walker Kessler, you know, he's starting again. He hasn't started the last couple of games. You know, Coach Hardy's still trying to figure out what's going on here. But, you know, against the Pelicans, 5-of-5. He hit a three-pointer. You know, people are happy about that. He had a block, 11 points, only four rebounds, which is concerning.
It was kind of weird.
Yeah, like, I mean, so beginning of year, I mean, so less so, that was preseason. People were really high on him. But then, like, the first, like, 2-3 weeks, there was that spot of, oh, his confidence is shot because of Team USA and all that stuff now. Taking all that into account, so you're still a little bit lower on Walker. Are you lower on Walker from that, like, first 3 week period when people were...
No, I mean, probably more like preseason to now.
Preseason, so. I mean, look, Walker, because
I figured he's gonna figure it out. Like yeah. he's a young guy. He'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if he'll ever be an all-star. But
well, that's the thing fine. Is that like I don't know if figure it out. Like I never really got why people were. I mean, I do know why fans like were hopping on, like, oh, Walker Kessler, boom, next all-star, we got it. You know, it's in the bag. And that's okay. I think that's okay. I think I always like have more reservations about that. I don't think I'm any lower on Walker Kessler than I was in the preseason. My bar is lower, obviously. He's played fine. You know, 30 minutes tonight. There are games when I don't notice Walker Kessler anymore, which is lower than last year. Last year, I was like, all right, cool. Like, he's out there. He's making an impact. But I have doubts if you know, it depends on what Walker Kessler's next contract is. That's I guess what worries me. Like, I know he's only year two, so we have a couple years before that comes up, but, you know, Walker Kessler's not somebody I think I ever want to give a max contract to. So
same.
I guess I'll say that. So all right, it's Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn started against the Pelicans for the Jazz. You know, getting played 20 minutes, so solid rotation. What are your thoughts on Chris Dunn from the beginning of the year to now?
I can't really remember what I thought about him.
Okay, I mean, that's hard. Like, so probably didn't think very much of him. Like, you can nothing somebody. Like, you're like, oh, I didn't think about Chris Dunn at all. So,
I think he's a solid rotation player at this point.
Okay, so. Yeah, all right. I mean, that's fair. So up, the stock is a little bit up. Chris Dunn, you know, I always thought it was silly to be like Chris Dunn or THD. I think they're very similar players, not in terms of skill set, just in terms of impact. I'm just glad that we're starting one and not the other. Like I don't even care if you play THT and not play Dunn or vice versa. Just you can't give both those guys minutes, significant minutes in the rotation. And I think that covers my THT as well. So both of them.
Do you feel that like? THT's 6 minutes should have gone to Dunn tonight then, or
I'm just confused why 6 minutes. Like, it's just
throwing him a bone, I guess.
I guess exactly. Like you're just giving him 6 minutes. Like, I don't know if 6 minutes is impactful. I don't know if you're an NBA player, if you're persuaded by playing 6 minutes. Like, okay, cool. I got him for 6 minutes. And you're like, you know, can you feel like you did a good job in that 6 minutes? I guess so. Yeah, so yeah, Dunn and THT are kind of what I thought they were. I'm not disappointed. I'm not impressed. I think they are fine, you know, end of like ninth, tenth guys on the bench. I think it's worrisome that the Jazz have to play one of them significant minutes, but it is what it is. Kelly Olynyk. Thoughts at the beginning of the year? I don't really know what your thoughts were about Kelly.
I think I'm pretty much the same on him as I was at the beginning of the year. I think it was like, you know, like last year we were all kind of like pleasantly surprised, like, oh yeah, he's kind of better than I thought he was. So I guess I'm just kind of,
yeah, okay.
You know, I figured he's probably trade bait this year though. Like, that's what I'm figuring.
I mean, I think he was trade bait last year too. Just, you know, you have to.
That's fair.
You have
that's
to wait
fair.
To. But yeah, like, your point is more taken because he is on an expiring contract. His name's coming up a lot more. I think he's fine. I'm not one of those people that I don't think the Boyan trade for Olenek was a disaster. I think it was done, you know, for a variety of reasons. I think Olenek has shown that he's 30. Let's see how old he is.
Boyan, part of the worst team in the league with the worst losing streak in a long time.
They had a chance tonight. All right, so Kelly, 32 years old. There's a reason why the guy's been in the league for forever. You don't really. It's the Rudy Gobert effect. Like, you don't really know what KKO does until you're actually on the team. In case you're like, okay, yeah, he makes an impact. It's not always in the stats. I mean, Kelly Olynyk led the Jazz in points in one of the wins against Detroit, right? Like everybody was injured, and Kelly Olynyk like scored like 30 something points. He actually shot those open threes that he never takes. So, but yeah, Kelly Olynyk, and maybe it's like one of those things that I think there's a 90% chance that Kelly Olynyk is not on the team in 2 months. So.
I think that's fair because
I think he knows
that there's a lot of teams that need. Seems like there's a lot of teams that need help at center. Right.
Interesting name, and we probably have the same answer. Simone Fontecchio.
I mean, maybe slightly up from last year.
Just slightly up. Interesting. I really nothing to him. I thought he would be out of the league. You know, like this is the second year.
I was
not impressed with Fontecchio last year at all. Like I really like, but now he's playing. You know, like he was starting for a little bit, played 14 minutes tonight. I don't think he's an absolute just like, you know, door on defense. I'm like, okay, like he's showing he got something. Like
he's got something now. I mean, he's not nothing now, but I still don't know if he's a net positive.
I went from going to think that he was out of the league to going, okay, well, he's probably on somebody's roster for the next few years. So that's from being off an NBA roster, that's a big jump.
That's fair, because like, you're right. That is what I thought about him last year.
Right.
I was like, this guy's not going to stick to the league.
Well, like, he may not be, you know, the next backup small forward for the Jazz or anything, but at least he's shown that he can be a little something. I think we touched on Jordan Clarkson. We didn't. I've always been lower on Jordan Clarkson than a lot of people. The game against the Pelicans just looked really awful. Looked really putrid. But then you get that game, but then you also get the Raptors game where he scored 8,000 points in the fourth quarter or something like that. Broke Kobe's record, I think. But you know, he has good games. You know, like Jordan Clarkson. I like this role for him much better. I love him coming off the bench. But you know what? I think I'm sort of static on Jordan Clarkson. Like, yeah, like I thought this is what he kind of like. Here, I think Andy Larson tweeted out like, Jordan Clarkson is what JC is. Like you know what you have, and like nothing has changed about Jordan Clarkson that makes me think he's anything but what he is. And you know, that includes preseason, that includes injury, coming back now. Jordan Clarkson is who he is. He's in that Kelly Olynyk camp. Like, okay, like. You know, they've talked about him having a very tradable contract. I do think that Jordan Clarkson. I'm not as confident that he's not on the team, in February or March, I should say, for the Jazz, because you know there are not that many downsides to keeping Jordan Clarkson. Like, if you don't find a good deal, if something just doesn't come up, I don't see him just not being on the team, I guess. So
I agree. It doesn't seem like a huge downside. He got that raise this year, so he'd be.
But for you, I know that you are a bigger, much bigger Jordan Clarkson fan than I have. I mean, especially when the trade happened.
I don't feel like I don't think I've gone. Well, I guess earlier this year I said, "Go ahead and trade him."
That's different. Go ahead and trade him doesn't mean like you're down on the player, right? Like, you know, there's a good.
I feel like I'm the same on him.
Yeah, but like, I mean, just because you think that you should or you could trade him doesn't mean you're down on him, because you still like him as a. I mean, I assume you still like him as a player.
Yeah,
like, you like his game. Yeah. Do you still feel confident in his game? Again, like, he had an awful game tonight, but he also had an amazing game against the Raptors. So
right.
Like,
I still think he's a worthwhile player.
Okay.
I don't feel like I'm going up and down on
Let's go through these last guys pretty quickly here. We did Keontae George, I think, already, right? Agbaji, Ochai.
Oh, Ochai. So Ochai looked bad at the beginning of the year. He's starting to look better. So
how about preseason from last year? We saw your Ochai.
Yeah.
I mean, from the beginning of the year, yes. But from last year to this year, how do you feel?
Maybe down, slightly down overall.
Okay. I'm another person that was kind of down on Ochai to begin with anyway. I know that, like, you know, Justin, our friend Justin Gets It from Twitter, was not a big fan. It's funny because, like, when Ochai came over, he was like, oh, like, he talked about how Ochai was already older, but yada, yada, yada. So I never really, like, even when he had a good run last year, it was a bad team. Like, it's hard to really know. And
yeah.
Good player,
bad team.
I think Ochai's kind of, yeah, like, I think maybe I'm down because, like, I mean, even though I was down on him, I thought he was at least a top 8-9 player. I don't know if he could be a top 8 or 9 player on every team.
Oh, so. His cat doesn't sway you in being a cat guy.
Good for him. Hey, cool. Good, have a cat. Just,
yeah. You still got that drop?
I do, probably somewhere. But yeah, like Ochai, I think I'm down on him. I actually do think, like, and again, that's not great because I was down on him to begin the year. So, Lukas Samanich, I don't know if we need to talk about him. You're 7. I mean, he's been injured lately, but you're 7.
I nothinged him before, so I guess I'm up.
Yeah, I mean, same thing. Like, Samanich and you're 7 have played a little bit minutes. Like, okay, but they haven't moved really. Like, those guys are end of bench guys that, you know, probably. But there was a period of time where Jazz fans were just ready to make Yurt 7. The starting center for the Jazz. It was a crazy time. So I haven't heard any more of the Yurt 7 love lately. And then we have Taylor Hendricks. This one's interesting. Where are you now on Taylor Hendricks? Now, and you've seen him, not G League. You've seen him play real NBA minutes.
I want him to have more minutes because I feel like he's a good defensive player, and that's rare for a rookie.
I mean, look, that's a whole different conversation. Like, we want to see Taylor Hendricks. Yeah. Are you more confident?
Are you more confident
in Taylor Hendricks, or do you?
I'm up since he wasn't getting any NBA time at all. So I guess I'm up.
I mean, but like you had expectations for Hendricks when he got drafted. I don't know what kind of expectations.
I guess maybe down from there because like I thought he'd be seeing more significant time, but I don't know. No, but I also understood with John Collins coming here that it was going to be hard for him to see time. So I don't know how to quantify what my expectations were.
I mean, but like, how about in the limited like minutes that you have seen him play?
I mean, I like what I've seen, but I guess I haven't seen enough.
All right. I mean, I'm my expectations for Taylor Hendricks was, I mean, expectations is the wrong word, because like my hope was that okay, cool, like at number 9 in a really low draft,
he's gonna force the issue and immediately play, right?
Well, I mean that's the 1% hope that. Because like guys that are the dudes on the teams, they don't play in the G League. They don't sit out games. They don't, you know, like
they force the issue because they're so good. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's raw. And so like, look, you know, I'll give it another year or two because you know they drafted him knowing that he wasn't ready. And when he came in, I knew he wasn't ready. Oh, and the minutes that we've seen him play, yes, you can see the physical tools of why he was drafted in the top 10.
Yeah,
His offense is okay, and you know, I guess there's part of me that hopes that offense can be taught. Yeah. There's hope that, but I mean, gosh, like, you know, you can't teach what Jokic does. You can't teach what Giannis does. You can't teach what Steph does. You can't teach what LeBron does. Those guys have it. Those guys, if you could teach that, then there'd be way more of those guys. But you can't. So, for Taylor Hendricks to get there, he has to learn basic offense, and then make a leap. And I guess the hope is that once you teach him how to get basic offense, then his physical tools will take over. Because like Giannis doesn't have a whole lot of like tricks in his bag, right? He's not Jokic with his insane vision, passing, and just feel for the game. He's not LeBron, but Giannis is just physically just stronger. He can make use his length that other guys can't. You can't teach length, so. I think that's the hope you have for Hendricks. I just think it's further away from it now that I've seen him play than in preseason. Now that the box has been opened up a little bit, I'm further away on Hendricks, I guess. So, not saying that I don't think he can be good. I just don't think he's going to be the guy.
What you hoped he could be.
It's like going to play the Powerball. Here's $3. Give me a line, and here's the hoping I hit $600 million. I think I'm going to win it? No, not of course not. But I still pay the $3. Right. I'm just hoping that I hit it. But, it is what it is. Those are some great stuff. Go get those ads. Go buy the stuff in the ads and join the websites and do all the stuff. Jared, something that's a lot of people, I see Mark on the Twitter right now, Mark of the twos and threes, Rudy Gobert, the talk of the town right now. Rudy Gobert, the Wolves are, I still think they're first in the West.
I can't believe people are saying he's leading that team, though, because he's not. Anthony Edwards is leading that team. Well, yes.
But, I mean, that Wolves team looks a lot better.
Sure.
And, of course, it has a lot to do with Rudy Gobert. Like, I want to make it known that, like, hey, like, I think that trade, it's working out well for the Wolves. I think it's working out well for the Jazz. The Jazz side?
Is it working out for us well for the Jazz, we hoped? Last year, it seemed like it was working out great for us. But.
Right. So what's changed then?
Well, that center that we got from them,
I just 2 minutes ago said that my thought on Walker Kessler hasn't changed. So
we're hoping that the Wolves sort of blow up as they get more expensive. Mm-hmm. I guess that's still what we're hoping.
Right. And it's
hard to be optimistic about that when they're the one seed, though.
Okay. I mean, but like, so has it changed? Like, I mean, like.
I guess it really hasn't.
That's what I'm saying. They're number one seed in the West, but that was their hope and it works. But we were always banking on, at least, I was always banking on, 25, cool. Now they have Mike Conley. Now they have Rudy Gobert. Now they're going to have to make decisions because Anthony Edwards is going to cost them a max contract. Mike Conley has to be re-signed, and he's probably not going to take a veteran minimum to play. I think Mike Conley playing well is bad for future Wolves because now you got to pay him. So they're going to have to make cuts somewhere, right? They just paid Naj Reid. They're paying a lot of people. So if they want to be if they win a championship, cool. It's all gravy for them. They'll spend that money. If they don't, they're gonna have some hard decisions. They'll have hard decisions regardless. The equations haven't changed. That's cool, but the Jazz don't have the draft pick from the Wolves this year. Everything is still in play for 25, 26, 27, yada yada yada. So,
I guess I just hope that they fall off a cliff, in the standings.
Yeah, and then again, for me, it doesn't change the equation, but for you, I understand why.
Not this year, but next year,
Yeah, I mean it happens. It happens. We saw the Jazz do it. The Jazz went from first in the West to a really bad fifth seed. So,
well, we also saw, who else did we see? Oh, yeah, the Grizzlies have kind of fallen off.
There's extenuating circumstances,
very injured.
Injuries happen. The Suns, right? The Suns are barely above the Jazz.
Is amazing.
I guess the point of this is that we're saying just because it happened this year, we have no idea what's going to happen next year. Look at the standings. Look at what we thought was going to happen.
At the beginning of the year.
Of the year, and how different it is. You and I were, on the Minnesota-Dallas trend. I mean, I guess Dallas has dropped to sixth. Denver second.
Dropped to sixth.
Yeah. OKC's up to third. The Clippers up to fourth. Kings are fifth. Pelicans seven. Lakers eight. I mean, the Rockets were up there. Rockets are nine. The Warriors are out of the playoff race. So, like, we just don't really know. Like, you know, yeah. Oklahoma City, Minnesota being at first, big surprise. Oklahoma City in the top three, pretty big surprise. Dallas has fallen off a little bit. The Kings are at fifth, that's probably right where. The Clippers at four, maybe a little bit surprise. But, yeah, we thought the Suns, you know, would be better. The Rockets, I mean, I think you and I had the Rockets very low on our list.
Yeah,
I think you said the Rockets were probably the worst team in the league.
Yeah, they improved quite a bit.
I mean, like they're only the ninth seed, but that's still pretty good for them.
Yeah,
from last year. Yeah. So.
Oh yeah.
That's the West. The East. You know, Celtics, Milwaukee, Sixers. I mean, the Heat at four. The Magic at five.
The Magic are looking good. Magic
at five. So like we just don't know. We think we know. We think, okay, cool, like the Wolves are number one this year. They're only going to get better.
I'm still surprised I haven't seen more Jazz fans going, oh, look how Joe Ingles transformed that Magic team.
I don't watch a lot of Magic games.
I know, but it's just funny. It's just funny.
Joe Ingles, he doesn't – I don't know if he has the same fans as, like, the Donovans, the Rudys, maybe he has the same percentage of fans like the Boyan fans. You know, they're loud, but a very small minority, I guess. So, but I bring this up because I bring up the Rudy stuff because you're like, all right, I have an idea, I have a thought, I want to explore. Like, what if, you know, what if on Disney Plus, Disney Plus give us money, what if the Jazz only made the Donovan Mitchell trade, and so that means basically they say, okay, we're gonna keep Rudy. The Jazz are going to keep Rudy, and they're going to trade. And because, you know, we talked about this last year. When I say we, I mean, like, Dragon Squash and I, we hop out about it. Like, Dragon Squash and I kind of left going thinking that the Donovan Mitchell package was actually better than the Rudy package. And that was before we found out that Larry Markkanen was going to be an all-star. So Larry Markkanen, Ochai Agbaji, draft picks in 27, 28, 27, 29, 25, 27, 29, excuse me. So a couple pick swaps. Was there anybody else in that trade? I'm trying to still off the top of my head, and I'm trying to think of. There's got to be somebody else that we're missing.
The guys that aren't on the team anymore, or at least one or two.
Who was it?
It was that guy that's on the Bucks now, the shooter. Really hot and cold. Started out super hot at the beginning of last year. And then he cooled down to nothing.
Why did I play? Why did I try to play this game when I know I'm getting old and I have the internet in front of me. So, all right. That was it. That was it. So, all right. So the jeez, I'm missing one. I'm fucking
Malik
stupid.
Beasley.
That was the Minnesota trade. The Cavs traded.
Oh, you're right.
It was Lowry, Ochai, and Colin Sexton. Okay, so there we go. I was like, how did I miss Colin Sexton? Of course, yeah, because at the time of the trade, because Colin got extended, I think Colin was sort of the crown jewel of the package.
Right.
And now that we look back at it, it's Larry Markkanen. But again, we just talked about how Colin Sexton's play has elevated it. All right, so this is interesting. So because Larry and like Rudy, that was actually probably been a really good pairing, right? Larry could play power forward, Rudy at center. Larry doesn't need to play inside. He can play outside, obviously. You don't have a ball dominant guard there. Well, you have Colin Sexton, so you're hoping that Colin Sexton. So last year would have been interesting. Like, does Larry still? I think Larry can still be an all-star in that team. The defense would be a lot better. Like, we just have a lot of data that Rudy Gobert helps defenses be better. Even when the Jazz had like kind of crappy defenders, they were a really good defense.
Right.
You know, that Minnesota team, they made that trade because Karl Anthony Towns was notoriously bad on defense.
Yeah.
And that team is like just is defending at a higher level now. So we have a lot of that's one change I see. That the defense is obviously, like, I don't think I'm being crazy here saying that defense would be better. You have 2 7-footers, 7-footer plus the center and power forward spot. Right. You still have Ochai, who, if he plays like he did last year, 3-and-D guy.
And you got Mike Conley in the mix.
Yep, you still have Mike Conley. I mean, assuming that we made that trade, we're actually the Jazz made that trade. The Jazz are probably not tanking. The Jazz are just retooling. You know, like a real retool, not the retool that Danny Ainge told that it was going to happen. you got Colin Sexton out there, you know. So, I mean, your backcourt's still kind of small. You have 2 6-1 guards and Mike Conley and Colin Sexton. But, you know, maybe having Lowry there, who is not a great defender, but 7 foot to 7 foot. So that's, you know, length. Again, Ochai Agbaji is there, you know, at small forward. So, you know, you have another 3-and-D guy there. Team could be interesting. That team could be interesting. Plus you have, you know, a few first-round picks to play with. I don't know. Why were you thinking about this Rudy Gobert trade?
I don't know. We were just talking. My roommate and I were talking about this. It was just an interesting thought exercise, I guess. Just to imagine, like, a different version of a similar team.
Okay, what did you guys, you know, you guys talk about, like, what did you guys come up with anything, like, would this team be better, Jazz direction would be different, or?
It seemed like the Jazz direction would be different, because it wouldn't, I mean, it's less rebuilding, more kind of like, it feels like reloading.
Retooling, yeah, right.
Yeah, retooling, reloading, and so, I mean, it still doesn't solve your issue of, like, small forwards and stuff. I mean, unless you were to think that Ochai is the future there. I just thought it was an interesting.
The thing is that I don't think the small forward would have been a problem in that. It's because I think the Jazz have too many power forwards in this situation, in the situation they are now. But when you have Lowry and Rudy Gobert, I think that's okay. You know, and maybe if they're retooling, they...
Well, but we still wouldn't have that wing defender is what I'm trying to say.
Isn't Ochai kind of like... He's supposed to be a good defender?
That's the hope.
Right. So, I mean... But again, when you have Rudy Gobert, you just have to be... You know, you don't have to be amazing at wing defense. You just have to be...
But Jim McDaniels is, and that's why that team is so good.
Is it? I mean, I
part
don't,
of it.
I don't watch.
Part of it is so. Anthony Edwards and McDaniels are pretty good defenders. So.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's less holes on the perimeter.
I mean, I would think Ochai, at least on defense, could at least be Anthony Edwards level. So.
That's fair.
And so, yeah. I mean, again, you do have two shorter guards in that rotation, but. You know, the offense doesn't. I don't think offense would be as big a problem. Colin and Rudy together could be a little weird, but you know, we've seen that Mike Conley, still at his advanced age, still, you know, a pretty good floor general that could really work. Yeah. That could really work. I don't know. It's interesting, but yeah, I think you and your roomie there. I think the interesting part is that, yeah, so instead of rebuilding, they're just going to retool. I think that team, at least last year, if Lowry's still an all-star, I think that team at least makes this a second-round run. But then, you know, then what? The Jazz still?
Yeah, I know. It seems like a short-term future. Like, Conley's still old and breaking down. So at some point, that team just the wheels fall off.
I mean, well,
that's what I originally came up to.
I mean, you're telling me already that the Wolves next year, even with Conley and Rudy, are going to be the top seed again in 2025, right? So
I'm just worried.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I'm you just a second ago, you're like, oh well, you know, now the Wolves look really good, and that's going to hurt our 2025.
You're right. Pick. You're right. Mike Conley's going to have his annual hamstring injury, and there'll be nothing to worry about.
Right. So. I mean, I don't think it's like, the Wolves are using Mike Conley way differently than the Jazz did. The Jazz were really cautious about his injury, and I don't think Mike Conley has really sat out very much this year for a rest at all. And so who knows? I mean, I don't know. that team's interesting because like, you have Larry Markkanen. You probably don't have a lot of money because Larry and Colin together make a max contract. Ochai's cheap. You get a little bit younger. You have a couple of pieces that are in their mid-20s. And then you have Ochai, who's an older rookie. Oh, boy, I mean, I think it's a fine team. I mean, look, but the West isn't loaded. Like, could that team have given the Denver Nuggets a run? You know,
probably not.
That Denver Nuggets team was pretty good. You know,
yeah.
But could they give the Denver Nuggets team a run this year? So the Jazz miss out on the Wolves pick, so that basically means no Keontae. Or maybe instead of the Jazz getting the 16th pick, the Jazz's pick falls in the same lottery area. Maybe they somehow get Keontae as their number one pick. They would still have Bryce Sensabaugh or that pick from the Nets, right? Sure. So now that team has Keontae, Mike Conley still, and Colin Sexton.
Uh-huh.
So, Keontae doesn't have to be thrown into the fire. Let's just say Keontae plays as well as he's playing right now, which is kind of up and down. You know, he's a rookie. I don't know who the Jazz go get in free agency.
Me neither.
Let's just say, I don't know. But, like, because you still, they probably couldn't make that John Collins trade. I'm thinking they're with Conley, Gobert, yeah, they still have the cap room. So John Collins not on the team this year. Oh boy, like unless
I don't even know. I don't even know why I was thinking about this. It's just weird, sort of.
Yeah, I mean it is, but like that team is probably a little better. But here's the thing: the Jazz right now are 13-19. Right now, the Jazz are just, I mean, they've looked better. They're 6-4 in the last 10 games.
We're like a third of the way through the year. Holy crap.
Yeah. After the start of the year, they looked really bad. They at least look competent now. They at least could make a run at the, is that team, you know, we're right now, we're still, you and I, or at least I'm still hoping that the Jazz can somehow land a really good pick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a chance they can use those pieces to trade for a star, but that has problems of its own. If you have a Jazz team that has Lowry, All-Star Larry Markkanen, All-Star Rudy Gobert, like Rudy Gobert's playing like he is this year with the Jazz, that could be pretty good. It's an interesting team because like there's just, I know Minnesota's number one, but like are you picking them today, December 29th, as the NBA championship favorite?
Who, the Wolves?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I mean, they're a game and a half above everybody in the West, so. I think they beat the Mavericks tonight. So, that's fair. So I guess I'm using that as an example that even though the Wolves are number one in the West, I think there's Denver Nuggets are the defending champions.
Are they a paper tiger?
There's Boston. Right. There's Milwaukee. There's Philadelphia. It's not more paper tigers that like we are in a period where. There's actually a legit 4 to 5 teams that we think could win it. There's nobody that you would put your life savings on because, you know, you can see these guys getting tripped up somewhere. And so in that situation, right. Having a team with, you know, like say Rudy Gobert and Lowry, and that team's good defensively, Lowry's an all-star, that team has a chance. Like I know the Denver Nuggets were the number one seed last year, but, and maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm shocked that they won. Cause like,
still shocked they won.
From last year, yeah. Because I mean, look, I get they were number one. I just don't think they were head and shoulders above all the teams out there. Like, okay. if we played last year and you know a couple injuries bounce differently, I still think the Bucks and the Celtics had better teams.
Okay.
And so here we are this year. Like, you know, we got Boston, Milwaukee, Philly, Minnesota, Denver, OKC, those are the top 6 teams in the NBA. Are you putting your life savings on any one of those teams to win the championship today?
Any of those other teams?
any of those six teams that I just named, or anybody who, like, is there anybody that you're like, I'm so confident in this team that I'm willing to put $1,000 on, $2,000, whatever money that you have that would be a big dent in your pocketbook.
You mean besides Denver?
No, I mean if you are so confident that you would take Denver versus the field, to take Denver.
That's probably what I would do.
Like, you would spend your entire life savings to go to Wendover right now and put that bet on there.
I don't really have much of a life savings, but yeah, sure.
Okay, all right. Like, this is like your life. Like if you lose, you're on the streets. Like that, I guess that's like I don't have the confidence in any of those teams, I guess, to do that. So, but I guess you do. So, you know, there you go.
I mean, Denver's like, I don't know. They're the only ones I have any confidence in. The rest of them,
that's different than having complete confidence. You know, like 90% confidence, well, 80% confidence. You know, like I'm saying 90% confident that.
Oh yeah, okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, probably more like 75% confident.
75. Okay, that might be. Wow, you're putting your life. You're willing to be homeless for 75% chance.
I mean, not really.
Well, that's what I just asked you.
I mean, but I'm not, no. You're if you're asking me that, I would actually. I don't bet money like that. Who? I never bet like that. Who?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Then, like you, I was saying,
and
like,
I can't live without money for that long. So no.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Never. Like, I'm saying that you are so confident that the Denver Nuggets.
Then never ask me a question like that again, because I don't bet like that. I'm not like.
Well, that's why
I'm not a degenerate.
I need you to put yourself in the mindset that you would do that. Like, not like oh, yeah, because I want you to have consequences if you're wrong about picking the Denver Nuggets.
Okay. Fair. Fair.
Like, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, I'm confident in the Denver Nuggets, because if they lose, then, you know, oh, yeah, I was confident, but who cares?
Then right? all that matters is that it was said somewhere on a podcast.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm asking you, like, you are completely confident in the Denver Nuggets winning the championship this year. And I was like, I think that's nuts. But okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. That's completely fair. Yeah. You're right.
The point is that I don't think there's anybody that, like, when the Warriors had Kevin Durant, like I would have bet on them most of those years. You know, I would have lost one, but
right.
I would have won twice. You know?
True.
And so, like, that's how confident, because that Warriors team was so dominant. They were just, you know, like, it was easy money.
Yeah, it was.
And, you know, now I think the NBA is a little more open. There's, you know, there's 5 to 6 teams that I think are legit contenders.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, I think if you have a, you know, a Rudy Gobert, Lowry, Markkanen, Jazz team, I think that team at least has an outside chance.
Yeah, that's
maybe
true.
Maybe they're the Thunder. The Thunder are 29, you know, the sixth best team in the NBA right now. Like, they could do it. Like why not? You know, could the Thunder beat the Nuggets and the Timberwolves in a 7-game series? I mean, they wouldn't be favored, but I think they would have at least a chance, right? So,
mm-hmm.
So I guess that's what I'm getting at, is that I don't think there's – I think that situation that you posed with Rudy Gobert and Larry Markkanen and the rest of the Cavs pieces, and then at least the Jazz have restocked some of their draft picks that they lost in the Mike Conley trade. Mike Conley playing better. Yeah, I think there's an interesting scenario that the Jazz could have, which is funny because I think if the Jazz just kept Rudy and Donovan together, I would be less confident in that team.
Same.
And it's not that, and I actually think Donovan's a better player than Lowry. And you know, if I had to like draft, you know, a team today, I would take Donovan ahead of Lowry. I think having a couple extra draft picks helps, because then you can, you know, you actually have something to trade for the Aaron Gordon or like that missing piece. Like, you know, he's not a superstar, but a Tobias Harris type player that puts you over the top. I think having those draft picks help. I think, you know, the chemistry, like having the 2 7-footers together is interesting. So that's kind of funny, because I've been seeing the tweets about the Jazz should have kept that Donovan Rudy team together, and I just didn't see it with that team. And I think maybe because the supporting cast.
No future with that team.
I think the supporting cast with the Cavs pieces in the Donovan trade would be better. And, yeah. You know, we'll probably have to do this again sometime with when the Donovan, you know, as opposed to keeping Donovan and making the Rudy trade and seeing how that would work out. So Anyway, interesting question. I'm glad we had the talk, and I'm sorry that you're going to be homeless. I feel very bad for you. I hope it's in the summer when it's warm. Right now, I mean, it's cold out there, so I want you to be careful. So, Jared, I'm a Barker. How was your holiday? What did you get for Christmas besides the Hummer?
I got a tablet. It was an awesome tablet.
A tablet, ooh. All right. No iPads for this guy. He gets tablets. So, well, that's nice. A tablet there. That's cool. I got mostly clothes, but I asked for clothes. And so that was nice. Underwear specifically. I was like, I'm out of underwear. Please bring me more. Please give me some more. I've been like just doing the inside out thing. Like one day, turn inside out.
Good Lord.
So the three pack of Manscaped underwear from my brother got me was great. Definitely in need. I got a cool painting. I'm a big Star Trek The Next Generation guy. So. They got this painting from the last scene of that show, and I think it's really cool. I wish I had a room. I don't really have a room, so I wish I could hang it up somewhere I could see it. Maybe my brother will be hanging up in his house for a little bit. A tablet. Anything else? A tablet and a Hummer. Anything else?
Let's see. Merton Hanks jersey.
Well, oh, okay. All right. The actor from Toy Story and Catch Me If You Can. And Apollo 13. Wow. I never saw Apollo 13. So
you're a Cowboys fan. You should know who Merton Hanks is.
I'm a Cowboys fan. Yeah, that's a loose term of that word, fan.
You would have seen him in the 94 game. I'm a, 94.
Yeah. Good old 10-year-old me watching football. I think I probably started picking up football around 90, like mid 90s.
I'm just saying because the 49ers and Cowboys were big rivals, so
right.
Merton Hanks, stealing your soul.
I guess I'm trying to say that I was such a new fan then. I was like probably learning the game at the later time.
That's fair because that's fair. me too.
Yeah, so that's a Merton Hanks. That's nice. Those are some nice gifts. Are you a New Year's resolution guy?
I got mixed feelings on that. I feel like I make resolutions all the time.
Okay. I mean,
more effective different times of year.
I do the same thing. Like, I mean, I find dates arbitrary. So, I don't necessarily say, January 1st. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I've done it. I'm like, all right, you know what? Let me start today. I also done goals like, middle of July because, you can start whenever. So. Jared, happy new year, happy 2024. Hope it's a good one for everyone out there listening. Hope it's good. We have some big things planned. Let's see if it comes through. I mean, things fall apart sometimes. And we'll try to get there. A happy new year to the Jazz. Hopefully 2024, I think we want to go for the play-in playoffs. That's another question about,
Well, I did forget to mention, I guess it does. I guess it works out better for us if we can get that pick to convey this year.
So you know what?
Otherwise, it gets really hinky.
I would love to actually. We're gonna have to dedicate an episode to that about to convey, you know,
that's a great title.
Depending great title. On what camp you listen to, and I know, and I assume that Dragon Squatch is out there going, I have no idea what the fuck it means. So. So thanks for listening to our Rudy Poo New Year episode. We're happy New Year, everybody, to you and yours, and we'll see you guys next time.